This program is provided by lawyer Kyung Jin Kim.
You know, usually when we picture a global conflict, I mean, we think of something very visceral, right? Something highly visible.
Right, like tanks on a border.
Exactly. Tanks massing on a border, or, you know, aircraft carriers moving into strategic positions, or even diplomats just storming out of UN summits. It's very cinematic and, well, frankly, it is very obvious to anyone just watching the evening news.
Yeah, those are the traditional physical markers of geopolitical tension.
Yeah.
You could literally just take out a pen and draw those battle lines right on a map.
But then you look at what is happening right now, like this very week, and suddenly that traditional map feels completely obsolete.
Oh, completely.
The real high-stakes battle lines, they aren't being drawn across oceans anymore. They're being drawn across microscopic silicon circuit boards. They're hidden inside these massive, hyper-cooled data centers, and they're woven deep within the code of the artificial intelligence models that you interact with every single day. So, welcome to today's deep dive. Today, we are unpacking a rapidly escalating multi-trillion dollar technology cold war that is unfolding right now across four entirely distinct battlegrounds.
Which is just massive.
It is. Hardware, software, capital, and geopolitics.
And the sheer velocity at which all of this is happening is, honestly, it's breathtaking. We are not just watching standard trade disputes here.
Mm-hmm.
We are witnessing a complete real-time rewiring of the entire global technology ecosystem.
Exactly. And our roadmap for navigating this incredibly complex landscape today is a highly detailed, comprehensive briefing and commentary. And this was provided by lawyer Kyung Jin Kim, a former lawmaker.
Right.
The mission for this deep dive is to decode exactly how these four battlegrounds are violently colliding this month and what it actually means for the technology you use every day, whether that's the enterprise AI software running at your office or just the memory chips inside the phone in your pocket.
Well, what's fascinating here is, and this isn't just about the individual headlines we're about to explore, because if you isolate them, they might just seem like, you know, standard tech industry turn.
Right, just business as usual.
Exactly. But when you examine lawyer Kyung Jin Kim's commentary, you see how he connects the dots to reveal this highly coordinated, rapidly tightening squeeze on the entire global AI supply chain.
Yeah. Both sides are executing these massive chess-level strategies.
They absolutely are.
So let's jump right into the most immediate, tangible news we have today, the physical hardware. The U.S. Federal Communications Commission, the FCC, just brought down a massive hammer.
A huge hammer.
They instituted an immediate, sweeping import ban on Chinese humanoid robots, robotic dogs, and power inverters. And they specifically targeted major industry players like Unitree, Huawei, and SunGrow.
It is an aggressive move.
Yeah.
And it directly targets the literal physical embodiment of artificial intelligence.
Yeah.
I mean, we aren't just talking about chatbots living in a web browser anymore.
No, not at all.
We're talking about autonomous machines that can walk around a logistics warehouse or, you know, patrol a university campus.
And the specific trigger for this ban reads exactly like a plot from a cyber thriller. It all came down to this Bluetooth vulnerability known as Unipound.
Right, the Unipound flaw.
Yeah, which was discovered inside Unitree robots. But this wasn't just a theoretical flaw discovered in some isolated lab. This vulnerability was actually detected operating in the wild on U.S. university networks.
Specifically at MIT and Princeton.
Exactly. It essentially allowed root access that can spread from machine to machine like a computer worm.
And the mechanism of a worm is the crucial detail here. A worm-like vulnerability means that once a single robot is compromised, it doesn't need any human interaction to spread.
It just acts on its own.
Right. It can silently seek out and infect other vulnerable devices on that exact same local network. So the FCC's response was to draw a very specific, uncompromising line in the sand. The ban covers any ground robot weighing over 4.4 pounds that is equipped with environmental sensors, autonomous driving software, and communication capabilities exceeding 200 kilobits per second.
Wait, let me stop you right there. 4.4 pounds, that is incredibly light. I mean, that's essentially the weight of a large laptop. Why draw the line at such a specific low number?
Well, because 4.4 pounds is roughly the threshold where a machine is large enough to carry a meaningful physical payload, like, say, an advanced camera system, a microphone array, or additional processing units, while still being small enough to slip unnoticed into sensitive environments.
Ah, okay. That makes sense.
The U.S. cited severe threats to both the economy and national security, essentially labeling these networked robots as a massive roaming vulnerability in the supply chain.
And of course, in response, the Chinese embassy in the U.S. immediately pushed back. They demanded an end to what they categorized as the smearing of Chinese companies and the weaponization of sanctions.
Naturally.
But if we look past the diplomatic rhetoric, how the financial markets reacted to this physical blockade is incredibly revealing.
And this is exactly where the dynamic gets wild.
Mm-hmm.
Because despite this immediate U.S. import ban, and despite the fact that the U.S. military recently slapped a formal military tech designation on Unitree, the company is not slowing down. Not even a little bit.
No, they're stepping on the gas.
They are pushing forward with a massive initial public offering, an IPO, on the Star Market in Shanghai, which is scheduled for August 10th. They're aiming for a staggering 42 billion yuan valuation, which translates to roughly 6.2 billion U.S. dollars, and they are looking to raise $620 million in liquid cash.
Wow.
And they aren't an anomaly. Another embodied AI startup, Agibot, has officially launched the process for a Hong Kong IPO, seeking a valuation somewhere between $5.1 and $6.4 billion.
That's huge.
To give you a sense of their scale, they have shipped 15,000 advanced robots in just 3 years.
I mean, it feels like the U.S. is aggressively locking the front door, but China is just building a massive gold-plated financial mansion right next door.
That's a great way to put it.
We're seeing these strict trade blockades on physical hardware, but how exactly is this massive influx of capital from these IPOs acting as an engine to close the technology gap? Because clearly these investors are not spooked by the FCC.
It's because the capital itself acts as a massive shock absorber. When a company like Unitree or Agibot raises hundreds of millions of dollars, they aren't just hoarding it in a vault somewhere.
Yeah, they're deploying it.
Exactly. They are using that war chest to relentlessly fund domestic research and development, to poach top-tier engineering talent, and most importantly, to aggressively pivot and expand into alternative markets like Europe and the Middle East. The robust financial markets in Shanghai and Hong Kong are essentially providing the essential liquidity needed to keep the technological momentum going, regardless of what the U.S. market does.
Okay, so the robots are the physical bodies, the things actually carrying boxes or surveying campuses. But the underlying engine of all of this, the actual brain, well, that requires specialized AI chips.
It does.
And this leads us directly to a major revelation detailed in the sources that completely shatters the official narrative we have been hearing for months.
Yes. This brings us to the silicon bottleneck, which is arguably the most critical choke point in this entire global ecosystem.
So DeepSeek, which is an absolute powerhouse Chinese AI startup, just abruptly paused its Series B funding round, and they were sitting at an eye-watering $71 billion valuation.
Which is insane.
Right. A company doesn't just halt momentum like that without a massive reason. And the reason was leaked audio from their founder, Liang Wenfeng.
Oh, this was a huge leak.
During a private investor briefing back in May, which eventually leaked onto GitHub in July, he flatly admitted that they are lagging behind the U.S. in raw compute power. He explicitly said they are willing to pay massive premiums, like whatever it takes, just to get their hands on NVIDIA chips.
Which directly contradicts the prevailing official narrative that Chinese domestic chip makers have already caught up to the U.S. I mean, when the founder of one of China's most advanced, heavily funded AI companies admits in a closed-door meeting that they desperately need American silicon to train their models, it confirms that high-performance training chips remain a severe structural bottleneck for China's AI ambitions.
But, and there is always a but, in this deep dive, China is making aggressive, incredibly ambitious countermoves to try and smash that bottleneck. Because if you are effectively locked out of buying NVIDIA's best chips, your only option is to build a perfect replica yourself.
Exactly.
And that is exactly what Huawei is trying to pull off with its next-generation AI training chip, the Ascend 950 DT.
Right. They are deploying the 950 DT on Huawei Cloud this August, with a formal widespread release set for the fourth quarter. And the technical specifications on this chip are serious.
Let me just list these specs real quick, because they are dense. The sources state we're talking about 2 petaflop PS of computing power for FP8 calculations. Mm. It is packed with 144 gigabytes of high bandwidth memory, or HBM. But the stat that really jumped out to me is the chip-to-chip connection speed. 2 terabytes per second, which is 2.5 times faster than their previous model, the 910C.
It's a massive leap.
Now, before we go further, I need you to translate that. Petaflop PS. FP8 calculations. That sounds like a hyperdrive system from a sci-fi movie. Break down the mechanics of why these specific numbers actually matter.
Sure, let's unpack the jargon. A petaflop means the chip can perform 1 quadrillion math operations every single second.
1 quadrillion. Wow.
And FP8 refers to 8-bit floating point math. Essentially, it's a way for the AI to do math using fewer decimal places.
Okay, why would you want fewer decimal places?
Because in AI training, you don't always need perfect precision, right?
Yeah.
You need incredible speed to process billions of images or text documents. FP8 allows the chip to guess fast and learn quickly without getting bogged down in unnecessary precision.
Okay, that makes total sense. But what about that 2 terabytes per second chip-to-chip connection speed? Why does how fast they talk to each other matter if the chip itself is already doing a quadrillion calculations?
Because you never train a massive AI model on just one chip. You use a cluster of thousands, sometimes tens of thousands of chips, all acting as a hive mind.
Right, a giant network.
If those individual chips can't share their thoughts with each other instantly, the entire brain lags. That 2 terabytes per second is essentially the speed of the digital nervous system connecting them. And according to lawyer Kung-Jin Kim's commentary, the true test of this Ascend 950 DT will be its ability to handle heavy, sustained AI training workloads, potentially even training DeepSeek's upcoming V4.2 model.
That's a huge test.
If Huawei can successfully substitute for NVIDIA in the grueling multi-month training phase, that is the ultimate 6-month test for whether China can finally break its AI bottleneck.
And it's not just Huawei doing this. We're seeing second-tier Chinese chip makers, companies like Cambricon and Beeren, crossing major revenue milestones. It's proving there's an entire domestic hardware ecosystem rising up behind Huawei. But the U.S. and its allies are absolutely not standing still here.
Not at all.
This brings us to a frankly mind-boggling number from the sources. NVIDIA and South Korea's SK Group just signed a $500 billion AI infrastructure partnership. $500 billion.
It is a staggering financial commitment. This deal secures a massive long-term supply of high-bandwidth memory from SK Hynix to feed NVIDIA's chips. And crucially, it includes SK Telecom building a massive 2-gigawatt AI data center starting in 2027.
Okay, let's unpack this. I have to push back on the sheer physics of this. 2 gigawatts, that is the entire power output of a large nuclear power plant. Are you telling me SK Telecom is just going to plug a nuclear reactor into a server farm?
Pretty much.
At some point, doesn't the physical limitation of a local power grid make a $500 billion deal like this impossible to actually execute? With SK committing $500 billion to the NVIDIA ecosystem and Huawei pushing into data centers by Q4, aren't global tech companies in countries like Korea about to be caught in the crossfire of 2 entirely separate silicon ecosystems?
That is exactly the friction point experts are watching. I mean, sourcing that much continuous uninterrupted power is a monumental engineering hurdle. But it speaks to the desperation and the geopolitical stakes. SK Group is willing to try and solve the physics of a 2-gigawatt power draw because the alternative is being left behind.
Right.
South Korea is a critical supplier of memory chips to both sides and a massive consumer of AI tech. As these ecosystems drastically diverge, you know, a U.S.-led NVIDIA ecosystem and a Chinese-led Huawei ecosystem, companies and nations are facing intense strategic pressure to permanently choose sides. If you don't commit entirely to one, you risk navigating this incredibly perilous middle ground where your hardware simply doesn't interface with anyone else's.
Which perfectly transitions us from the hardware you can physically touch to the software that runs on top of it. Because if China is currently struggling to get their hands on those top-tier training chips, they are compensating in a brilliant way.
Yeah, with aggressively cheap, highly efficient software.
Exactly. Moving our deep dive to AI models. It is a deliberate race to the bottom in terms of pricing, but a fierce race to the top in performance.
It really is.
Let's look at the price war facts here. DeepSeek recently released a model called V4 Flash 0731, and they released it entirely on an open MIT license. The cost efficiency here is just insane. The sources note that simply by improving the post-training phase, they boosted its agentic ELO score from 1189 all the way up to 1559.
That's a huge jump.
Right. Now, that score trails the absolute top-tier GPT 5.6 Luna model by just one single point, but it operates at a 60% lower cost. We are talking 14 cents per 1 million input tokens. Again, I'm going to need you to act as a translator here. First off, what exactly is the post-training phase, and why is an agentic ELO score important?
Think of raw AI training like a child reading the entire internet to learn facts. It requires massive computing power. Post-training is more like finishing school.
Okay, finishing school.
Yeah, it's a much cheaper, highly targeted process where you teach the AI how to use those facts, how to follow formatting rules, how to be polite, how to reason through a complex logic puzzle. By perfecting that cheaper finishing school step, DeepSeek made a massive leap. The ELO score is a rating system originally used in chess.
Oh, like chess rankings.
Exactly.
Yeah.
In AI, an agentic ELO score measures how well an AI agent performs when competing against other AI models to complete complex multi-step tasks.
Okay, and what about the cost, 14 cents per 1 million tokens? What constitutes a token in this context?
A token is roughly equivalent to a piece of a word, maybe three or four letters. So 1 million tokens is roughly the equivalent of feeding the AI several entire books of text. Being able to process multiple books of data for just 14 cents is a complete paradigm shift in accessibility.
And DeepSeek isn't alone in the software price war. Minimax just released their H3 Omnimodal Video Model, which, by the way, generates 2K resolution video with native stereo audio, and it processes it at one-third the cost of its global competitors.
One-third?
Yeah. Meanwhile, giant corporations like ByteDance are internally restructuring, merging their massive consumer AI teams like Doubao with their enterprise teams Faishu to rapidly accelerate corporate AI tools. The result of all this, Chinese open source models recently hit an astonishing 46% of all enterprise token usage on US-based API platforms like OpenRouter.
Developers globally are simply voting with their wallets.
They are. But this incredible efficiency has sparked a massive brewing controversy over how exactly these models are getting so smart so fast. The US government thinks there might be a major shortcut being taken here.
Yes, the controversy over a technique called distillation. The US Bureau of Industry and Security, the BIS, has officially launched an investigation into Moonshot AI. Now, Moonshot is a Chinese startup that just closed $3.5 billion in funding, rocketing to a $35 billion valuation.
Huge numbers again.
Exactly. And the U.S. government is investigating allegations that Moonshot distilled Anthropic's highly advanced Fable 5 model to create their own Kimi K3 model.
Okay, let's unpack distillation. Is this basically like a student memorizing the teacher's answer key instead of actually learning how to do the math themselves?
That's a perfect analogy. Training a foundational AI model from scratch, like actually doing the complex math to understand language, takes months and costs hundreds of millions of dollars in compute power.
Right.
Distillation is a shortcut. You take a smaller, cheaper, less capable model, and you have it constantly ask questions to a massive, super smart model like Anthropic's. The small model basically studies the smart model's answers and mimics its behavior.
But I have to ask, isn't all machine learning just copying patterns from data on the internet? Why is distillation crossing a specific legal red line for the U.S. government?
Because learning from public data is one thing. Parasitically draining the structured output of a competitor's proprietary multi-million-dollar asset is another entirely. The U.S. claims Moonshot specifically set up internal platforms using NVIDIA servers located in Thailand to bypass restrictions and intentionally siphon off Fable 5's capabilities.
Oh, wow. Thailand.
Right. It's viewed not as learning, but as intellectual property theft by proxy.
And China's Commerce Ministry has furiously pushed back. They explicitly called this probe AI hegemony and stated they will take necessary measures to protect their companies. But for you, the listener, this raises a massive, immediate red flag. If you run a business and your developers decide to build your brand new software on a super cheap, open source Chinese AI model just to save a fortune on server costs, are you suddenly carrying hidden US sanction risks?
It is a critical question. And the answer is increasingly yes. If a model is sanctioned by the U.S. government, the platforms hosting it might be legally forced to pull it down overnight.
Just gone.
Your enterprise software could literally break the next morning. You aren't just choosing a piece of code anymore. You are inheriting the geopolitical baggage of how that code was created.
And that geopolitical baggage is getting heavier by the day. Which brings us to our final battleground. The policies, the mirror rules, and the looming geopolitical climax. The hardware and software skirmishes have forced the governments to step out of the shadows and draw hard regulatory lines.
Right.
Let's look at the policy tit for tat happening right now.
Well, if we connect this to the bigger picture, on the U.S. side, Congress is actively demanding a national security probe and a potential complete import ban on CXMT.
But CXMT is huge.
Massive. It's a Chinese memory chip maker that just IPO'd and hit a $489 billion market cap. U.S. lawmakers fear that this IPO was essentially manipulated to funnel immense capital directly into military assets.
And China is threatening to swing back just as hard. The Chinese Ministry of Commerce is actively considering what's being called mirror image export controls.
Right.
If the U.S. restricts chips, China is considering restricting the export of advanced AI models and the massive data sets used to train them. They are even weighing an outright ban on Chinese tech firms using overseas chip foundries like Taiwan's TSMC.
And a TSMC ban would trigger a massive, chaotic decoupling of the global supply chain. And internally, Beijing is heavily subsidizing its own AI ecosystem to prepare. They just rolled out 10 specific measures, including massive subsidies, to build token factories and support AI agent startups. Plus, they just established the world's very first national standards for AI agent interconnectivity.
I want to pause on that standard-setting piece because, honestly, it sounds incredibly dry, but lawyer Kinjin Kim's commentary highlights it as a profound move. Explain the mechanics of this. Why does writing a technical standard actually dictate the economy?
Think of it like building the global railway network back in the day. Whoever dictates the technical standards for how AI agents talk to each other, you know, how a logistics AI formats its data to talk to a banking AI, essentially sets the track gauge. If China sets the global standard, foreign companies will be forced to rewrite their own code to match Chinese protocols if they want their software to integrate globally. It puts Beijing at the absolute center of the digital web.
And all of these escalating tensions, the hardware bans, the billions in IPOs, the distillation probes, the standard setting it is all rushing toward a very specific, immovable date on the calendar, September 24th.
Yes, the diplomatic climax. President Trump and President Xi Jinping have a confirmed summit on September 24th. And at the very top of that agenda is advanced AI risk management and intellectual property protection.
The diplomatic battle lines are already rigidly drawn. You have China leading the WAICO alliance, which stands at 29 countries, facing off directly against the U.S.-led Paxilica alliance, which has 35 countries.
It's massive.
It is quite literally a divided globe heading into this room.
And this brings us back to the core conclusion drawn by lawyer Kinjin Kim. We are witnessing a coordinated systemic squeeze.
Yeah.
The U.S. is applying maximum pressure across four critical links. Physical chips via export controls, software models via distillation probes, physical robotics via FCC import bans, and capital markets via congressional probes into companies like CXMT.
And China is retaliating by setting its own global software standards, threatening mere export controls, and aggressively leveraging its capital markets in Shanghai and Hong Kong to fund its way through the blockades.
Precisely. There are two massive intertwined systems violently reorganizing themselves in real time.
So what does this all mean for you? I mean, why should you care about IPOs in Shanghai or Bluetooth worms at Princeton or the technical specs of a Huawei chip?
It's a fair question.
Because the fundamental technology ecosystem you rely on every day is being fractured. If you are a software developer picking an open source model to build on, you now have to weigh the risk of sudden IP sanctions literally destroying your product. If you manage a manufacturing plant and you're buying logistics robots, you have to ensure a sudden FCC ban won't permanently freeze your supply chain.
Right.
If you are an investor looking at tech stocks, the technical fundamentals of a company barely matter if they suddenly get caught on the wrong side of a geopolitical export control list. You now have to factor this geopolitical divide into every single technological decision you make.
And I want to leave you with one final, deeply unsettling detail from our sources to mull over. We spent time earlier analyzing that massive $500 billion AI infrastructure deal between NVIDIA and SK Group.
$500 trillion, yeah.
It sounds like an absolute triumph of the U.S.-led ecosystem. But both the International Monetary Fund and the Bank for International Settlements have issued a severe formal warning about that specific deal.
A warning about $500 billion in investment. Why?
They warn it is creating a systemic financial risk loop. The capital required to build 2 gigawatt data centers and buy these highly specialized chips is so immense that it is literally warping global financial markets.
Wow.
Immediately following the announcement of the NVIDIA SK deal, CDS indicators spiked by a record 0.82 percentage points.
Wait, CDS, credit default swap.
Exactly. Credit default swaps measure the cost of insurance against a massive corporate bankruptcy. A 0.82 percentage point spike overnight is a massive red flag.
Yeah, that's huge.
It indicates that the broader financial market is terrified of the debt being taken on to fund these AI ambitions. It forces us to ask a very uncomfortable question. Are we all so intensely focused on winning this technological Cold War that we are completely ignoring the massive systemic financial bubble we are inflating in order to fight it?
It's like we're so obsessed with aggressively defending our digital borders. We haven't noticed that the foundation of our entire financial mansion is starting to violently crack under the sheer weight of all those servers. It is a brilliant, slightly terrifying point to end on. Thank you so much for joining us on this deep dive. The map of the world is changing rapidly, not with borders and tanks, but with silicon and code. Stay curious, keep questioning the systems you use every day, and we will see you next time.
This program is provided by lawyer Kyungjin Kim.
For more from the same network,
Follow Daily AI News from Seoul on Apple Podcasts.